Praise the Lord for the truth that we have heard and sown this morning. I praise the Lord for it. Well, we've opened back up to Psalm 23, and as far as I know at this moment, this will be my final message in this series of Psalm 23. I'd like to say that as I've gone back through this psalm, that God has once again reminded me the Word of God is inexhaustible. It just is amazing. I praise God for His Word. It is just, it's wonderful. I just don't have words to describe what God's Word has meant to me in my life. And I just want to praise Him publicly for leaving me a copy of His Word and for giving me a copy in my native tongue that I could go to it on a regular basis and find help for my soul. How about you? Isn't God good? Well, as we near the end and wrap up this series, I want us to look at verse number 6. Right in the middle of that verse is where we have tried to draw our foundation for the entire psalm. All the days of my life. You know, some people view God as just, you know, God will help me in a crisis, or God will help me in a tight spot, or God will meet me on the mountaintop. But here, the psalmist, David, I believe is reflecting back over his life. And is reflecting back over this phrase, all the days of my life. And I believe that's what he has written out here, and we'll get to that in just a moment. He has written out kind of a diary that would sum up all the days of his life. I think it would do us all good to reflect and to examine and even to look ahead at all the days of our life. I read the story of two men that were on an airplane. And they were flying to a business meeting together, and one of the men was working a crossword puzzle, and the other man was sleeping, and the man got down to a word, and he was stumped, and he was kind of frustrated because it was such a short word, and so he bumped his partner that was sleeping, and he said, "Listen," he said, "I need a word that's three letters that ends with that has the middle letter O, and the clue is man's best friend." And the man kind of come out of a sleep, and he said, "Dog." He said, "Nah, that doesn't fit. Because the last letter is D." And the man said, "Well, I can't help you," and went back to sleep. You know, when I look at this psalm, I think there's something that David's trying to tell us. Out of all of the experiences of life, all the days of my life, David said, I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what His grace can do for you. Saved by His power divine. Saved to new life divine. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. I wonder if you could put a G in that puzzle and say, He's my best friend. God is my best friend. I really believe when we sum this up, this is what David is saying. He's saying, I found a best friend. He's saying, hallelujah. What a shepherd. What a friend we have in Jesus. Is that the way you live your life? I hope that it is. I really do. I thought about this as I was putting some things together. I just sit down at my desk a few days, and in the last several days, I took a few days and just sit down at my desk, and I reflected on the psalm, and I looked at this last verse, and I just thought, this is kind of David's exclamation mark. Look at the way he he begins verse number 6. He said, surely. I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 words here, and I want you to write them down, okay? I want to give you the word, this word, conviction. David says this with conviction. Surely. It's a word of affirmation. It's a word of certainty. It's not a word of doubt or suspect. It's not a word of question. It's a word of absolute certainty. It's a word of affirmation. He said, surely. Aren't you glad that as a Christian there's some things we can be sure about? I just took some time, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I hope this will whet your appetite. I looked this word sure or surely up. See, I believe a lot of Christians are living their life kind of like maybe. You know, maybe. Or perhaps. Or I think. But that's not what David said. David said, surely. I'm glad there's some things we can be sure of. You know, I looked in the concordance, and one of the first things that got my attention, I had some time ago, we all memorized Psalm 19. And the psalmist there, David, again, he said this in verse number, Psalm 19, I think it's verse number 7. He said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Aren't you glad of that? Sure. In Psalm 111, it says, the commandments of the Lord are sure. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Brethren, I hope with all that's within me, that when you pick this book up, you are sure that this is the Word of God. I'm glad I can be sure of that. See, I don't think so. I don't hope so. I'm not going on a niche or I think so. This is the Word of the living God, brethren. Right here is the Word of God. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. You say, preacher, how can you be sure? Because God has settled it in my heart. This is the Word of God. And it's forever settled. And so I went through and I looked at some things, and I hope you'll think about this. In Proverbs 11, verse 18, the righteous have a sure reward. In Luke 1, verse 1, we have some things that we have surely believed. In John chapter 6, in verse number 69, Peter said, when Jesus said, will you also go away? He said, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of life. And then he said, for we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you sure of that? Are you sure this morning that Jesus is the one, the only one? Amen. Come on, brethren. Come on. He's the only one. We found the Messiah, amen. Or rather, he found me, amen. He's the Son of the living God. The search is over. No longer will I look for purpose and pardon and direction. Thank God I found the Christ. You say, preacher, are you sure of it? Just as sure as Peter was, I'm sure that I found the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm glad there's some things we can be sure of. In Hebrews chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews said that we have a sure foundation. Amen. Amen. That is sure and steadfast. We have an anchor for the soul. We have a hope, brethren, that is sure and steadfast. In 2 Timothy in chapter number 2, we have a sure foundation, right? We have a sure foundation. And the Bible says that we have a sure foundation having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You say, preacher, how can I know that I belong to Christ? You'll hate sin, amen. You'll hate sin. You say, will I ever quit? Will I ever quit experiencing or exercising sin? Not in this life, but you'll have a different attitude toward it. Why? Because you're sure of that foundation that you have in Jesus Christ. You see, there's just some things that we can be sure of. Did you know Jesus said, I want you to be sure of something? Getting ready to close out the canon of Scripture. And he said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Are you sure? He said, I'm sure. I'm coming. See, these are things we can be sure of. And notice what David said here. Surely. He said, I'm just as sure of this as I am that I'm breathing. Surely. That's conviction. You know, we Christians need to start living by conviction. We need to be sure of some things. We need to be sure. How are we ever going to point people toward faith if we're not sure in our own faith? And so he said, I'm sure. Surely. Surely. I'm just as sure. What? Well, it goes from conviction to components. Look at these two components that he's sure of. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Look at that goodness and mercy. I started looking up what goodness and mercy mean, and I tell you, sometimes you think you know, and then it just keeps opening up and opening up. I started searching this word goodness, and most of us know what goodness is, but when you really, and I challenge you to do this, begin to look at the root from which this word comes from. And it took me right to, the root of this word took me to Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for the good. The root of this word is the root of that word, which means the best. See, God knows what is best. Amen. So I know what is good. God knows what is best. You see, surely goodness. See, God is going to work all things together. How often, preacher? Look at it. All the days of my life. All the days of my life, God's going to take everything and work it all together for the good, for what's best for me. For what's best for me. You say, well, I'm going through something right now, preacher, that doesn't seem to be the best for me. God's not through yet. God's not through yet. See, God takes all things and works them together for the good. Right? Amen. You heard the story about the little grandson who came in and grandma was baking a cake and he was complaining and he was saying, you know, she asked him, how was your day, son? And he just began to complain and murmur and he said, you know, it's just not fair, grandma. And she reached over and got a little handful of flour and she said, taste of this. He said, do I have to? She said, no. And then she reached over and got a little bit of oil and said, here, take this. He said, do I have to? She said, no. And then she kind of beat a few eggs up and she got a spoonful of that raw egg and she said, here, take a spoonful of this. He said, do I have to? She said, no. She said, now run on play. A few minutes later, he came back and she said, would you like to have a slice of cake? He said, I would. And she gave him a piece of cake. And she said, within that cake is that flour. And that oil, and that egg. And she taught him a valuable lesson about sometimes in life, we get the flour only. We get the egg only. We get the oil only. But God knows how to work them all together and give us a good old slice of cake. Amen. See, God knows how to take all things, all the days of our life. This word goodness, it means the best. God knows how to take the best. He makes it all for the best. And so here's what David is saying. Surely the best is following me. It may not always be before me. It may not always be with me. But God is going to work it out for the best. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Then he said, not only goodness, but mercy. Mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy. You think David ever needed mercy? You think David ever, as he was sitting there penning this, thinking about himself as a sheep and his Lord as his shepherd, you think maybe he went back to Bathsheba and he said, you know, I've done some stupid stuff. Is there anyone in here this morning that could testify with David and say, you know, I've done some stupid stuff? Amen. You think he thought about Uriah? And to follow up stupid, I've done something more stupid. And then I yoked up with the Philistines and I got with King Achish. You know that story, don't you? When the king gave him Ziklag and he went on that murderous tirade through Gaza Strip. Remember how that when Nabal had offended David and David said, you know what? He said, tomorrow we are going to make that man pay. That man's a fool. But you know what God showed him through Abigail? No, Nabal's not the only fool, David. You're getting ready to be one. You're acting a fool. And I believe that when David looked back over his life, he said, you know what? I've just acted a fool sometimes. I've done some stupid stuff. And then I think he began to think, but you know, my shepherd never turned me over. My shepherd never one time abandoned me. My shepherd never one time put me out for sale to some hireling. My shepherd was there with me every step of the way. My shepherd was there with me all the days of my life. Amen. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Aren't you glad for goodness and mercy? I thank God for that. Brethren, we take the good with the bad. Amen. We take the sunny days with the rainy days. I'm glad I can report to you this morning there's been more sunny days in my life than rainy days. Yes, there's been valley experiences. Yes, there's been the presence of evil. Yes, there's been the enemies that have sit as the Lord has prepared a table for me. Yes, I've needed restoration. Yes, I've needed to sit back on the paths of righteousness. Yes, I've done some stupid stuff. Yes, I've made some foolish decisions. Yes, I've done some crazy things, but I sure am glad that goodness and mercy was there to bring me back and to show me that God still loved me. And this is what David is saying. He said, I sure am glad that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, any other shepherd would have kicked you to the curb. You do know that, right? Amen. Well, there'll be people that'll tell you, I'll be right with you to the end, preacher. Amen. They'll tell you that too. I'm right here. I'll go to battle with you. Well, the first sign of battle, they'll turn tail and run. You'll say, I thought you was here. Well, I was, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. Amen. Oh, listen, aren't you glad that Jesus will go with you all the way? All the way. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm thankful for that. And so we said, surely goodness and mercy, the components. This next word I'd like to give you is called conveyance. It's just a word that means that how he moves these things. I want you to watch what David said here. Look at it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall. Not have. Now, goodness and mercy had followed him. Is that right? There's not a person in here that couldn't raise their hand and say, goodness and mercy has followed me. Amen. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. What a testimony to God's faithfulness. I was sitting at my desk last night, and boy, my eyes began to tear up, and I began to think about the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. This is what David is saying. God, as I review my life and as I reflect back over my life, I see how you brought me through every situation. I see how you was with me. And now I can testify. Surely goodness and mercy shall. You see, David was relying on his past experience with God, and he was bringing it up to present, and he was even looking toward the future. And he said, the same God that brought me to this point and that is with me here at this point is going to see me through in the point to come ahead. Amen. Shall follow me. What a testimony to God's faithfulness. God been faithful to you? Oh, come on, brethren. God been faithful to you. You say, preacher, it's kind of drabby outside. Don't let that get in your heart, amen. I'm telling you this morning, if we could just get a hold of what David is saying here. David said, he's the dearest friend I've ever had. I found a friend that won't forsake me. I found a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I found a friend that loveth at all times. I found a friend that's made me lay down in green pastures. Who's led me by the still waters. He's restored my soul. He's put me on the paths of righteousness. And when need be, he led me through the valley of the shadow of death. But thank God he was with me. His rod sometimes was the rod of correction, but sometimes it was the rod of protection. Sometimes the staff had to guide me and guard me. And I sure am glad that through it all, my cup runneth over, amen. I'm just flowing on the inside. There's something churning up in my soul. It's those well waters. It's that deep cistern of the water of the Spirit of God. I'm so glad I'm saved and going to heaven. I'm so glad that I know the Good Shepherd. What a friend we have in Jesus. David is saying, hallelujah, what a Savior. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall. Look at that next word, follow. You know what that word means? In that song, The Goodness of God, it talks about the goodness running after. Running after me. When you look this word up, now think about who's writing this. David. Think David ever was running? You think David knew what it was to be pursued? And that's our word here, by the way. It's pursued. Actually, it's an aggressive word that means pursued with purpose or chased, even hunted down. Now think about that. Think David knew what it was to be hunted down? You think Saul was on David's trail? Saul chased him. Saul pursued him. His own son, Absalom, pursued him. The Philistines pursued him. Are you listening? He slept in caves. He slept in the woods. He had to hide out. David was looking back over his life, and he said, I tell you, I've been chased. I've been pursued. But then God reminded him, those are not the only things pursuing you, son. Amen. I don't want you to focus on the Sauls of your life. I don't want you to focus on the Absaloms of your life. I don't want you to focus on the betrayal. I don't want you to focus on the enemy. I want you to focus on goodness and mercy, because they're pursuing you, son. I'm out in front of you, but I've got goodness and mercy behind you. I'm guarding you, son. I'm going to take care of you, and you are going to arrive safe and sound. Amen. That's why he could say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because he knew who was in front of him, and he knew who was bringing up the rear. How about you? Is the shepherd leading you? I pray that he is. Surely, conviction. Do you have that conviction? There just ought to be some things that we know that we're sure of. Can I encourage you this morning to take hold of the promises of God and be sure of some things in your Christian experience? Surely, goodness and mercy components. I don't know all that's going on in your life. I just know that goodness and mercy is on your trail. You might get away from the Sauls. David did. And you may get away from the Absaloms. David did. And his servants. And you might outflank the Philistines. David did. But surely goodness and mercy are going to find you. They have your coordinates locked in. Amen? And they have God as their GPS. They're going to be right there with you every step of the way. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I tell you right now, there's just something churning on the inside of my soul this morning. If I was about 20 years younger, you might see your preacher do a cartwheel this morning. I'm serious. I am so, so thankful to be a Christian. I don't ever want to take his love and his care and his provision for granted. Oh, how I'm apt to do it because I'm sinful and I'm forgetful. God, have mercy on me. God, forgive me when I forget whose I am. Sometimes we forget who we are, but I think it's more important not to forget whose we are. Amen. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow, pursue, shall follow me all the days of my life. What a statement, brethren. I thought about this as I was sitting at my desk, just pinning down some thoughts the Spirit of God brought to my mind. And this, listen, this is deeper than I am, so I don't know where this is going, but I just know this. I know God brought this to my remembrance. Son, I didn't just start pursuing you and following you and goodness and mercy October the 26th, 1980. That's the date Sharon and I got saved. David didn't say, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me from the time Samuel anointed me until I checked out of here. He said, all the days of my life. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about that. When you was just a little tight, wasn't given one moment of your day thought to God and His goodness in your life. God was right there with you. You say, well, preacher, couldn't have been. He was. You say, but there were some terrible things that happened in my childhood. Mine too. But I'm not bitter at God, because I know that God, that was a little flower. And I don't mean F-L-O-W-E-R. I mean F-L-O-U-R. That was just a little flower. That was just a little oil, maybe a raw egg or two. Sometimes we experience those in life. Listen, David's not trying to hide anything. Look at it if you would. David's not trying to hide anything from us. He said in verse number 4, he said, the valley of the shadow of death, that's part of all the days of my life. He said, evil, I will fear no evil. Evil is just a part of all the days of my life. Look if you would there in verse number 5, the latter part, 4, I'm sorry, the rod and staff. Now, there's a positive connotation there, but there's also a negative. The rod can bring punishment, correction. Verse number 5, he mentions his enemies. But David said at the end of verse number 5, after I sum it all up, mix it all up in the bowl, my cup's running over. Hey, man, my cup's running over, Lord. You sure have been good to me. I want to go on record today. Amen. If I never stand behind this pulpit again, I want to go on record today saying that God has been good to your pastor.
Amen.
Not just in the last month, not just since I became pastor of this church in 2006, but God has been good to your pastor.
Amen.
All the days of his life.
Amen.
What a great God I serve.
Amen.
There may be somebody here this morning or in person, somebody watching by live stream. I don't know. I have no way of knowing. You may be laying in the green pastures. You may be beside the still waters just taking in the goodness of God. He's good that way. But I may be talking to somebody that's walking through the path of that valley of shadow of death. You see, I may be talking to someone that feels like I'm in the presence of enemies. There's evil, preacher, and it's closing in on me. I want to tell you that God can take all of that. Listen, God can do this. Don't take the word of a man. Get in this book and find out you have a shepherd who can work all things together for your good and his glory, and that he will do you well all the days of your life. Aren't you glad for that? The last word I want to look at is commitment. Commitment. So we have conviction. We have components. I don't know if I mentioned continuance, but that's what it is. It's continuance. Shall. See, that means he has done it, he is doing it, and he's going to do it. That's continuance. That's his faithfulness. And then there's that conveyance. She'll follow. Follow that pursuit, that chase. Now, here's the commitment. And I'm going to tell you what a lot of folks do, and I've done it myself. And I don't think we're doing any harm to the Scripture. I want to be just as honest with the Scripture. I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account of how I handled this book. And you are too, by the way. Some people take this as meaning, well, David said, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a bit of a problem with that. Because I believe David is in heaven. But when I look over in Psalm 27, and I want you to turn there as we bring this message to a close this morning. In Psalm 27, look if you would, and let's see what David said. This is almost like a follow-up to Psalm 23. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Didn't he say that? I will fear no evil. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He nourishes me in the green pastures. He hydrates me in the still waters. When the wicked, even mine enemies, remember those in Psalm 23? And my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Not because I outflanked them and pulled out my sling. No, no, no. Because thou art with me. Amen. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. Now watch this now. One thing have I desired of the Lord. God, you have been so good to me. You have met my every need. But if you took away the green pastures, if you took away the still waters, if you took away putting me back on the path, if you took away the goodness and the mercy, now God's not going to take it away, but he said, listen, there's one thing that I want to remain. Look at what it was. That will I pursue. David has gone from the pursued to the pursuant. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to seek. What is it, David? That I may dwell in that place that he mentions in Psalm 23, in the house of the Lord. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. How often, David? Here's our phrase. All the days of my life. I don't know about you, but listen, I'm just going to use some very poor grammar here. I did it in Sunday school, and I'm going to do it again here in the 11 o'clock hour. You know what David is saying? Lord, by your grace, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here, Lord. I am going to be in your house. There's not enough of devils of hell. There's not enough of hypocritical Christians. Now, hear me now. There's not enough of bad stuff going on that's going to keep me home, going to keep me away from your house. God, it's your house, not the preacher's house, not the Freeman's house, not the Smith's house or the Short's house. Amen. I'm going to dwell in your house all the days of my life. I'm not quitting, God. By your grace, I'm not turning back. By your grace, I'm going to come and worship you. You've been too good to me, Lord. I'm not going to quit. I'm not even going to turn back. By the way, I'm not even going to slow down. I'm going to pick it up, Lord, because you've been so good to me. How could I ever repay you for your goodness to me? I'm not going to stay home. I'm not going to travel on the Lord's day when I should be at God's house. I'm not going to set aside God's house. I'm not going to make it non-essential. Let the government make it non-essential. It's essential to me, God. God, you're essential. Your house is essential. One thing, Lord, one thing. I want to be in your house. You go and you read this, and David said, here's why I want to be there. Not so I can see what lady has on the newest fashion. Not so I can find the fault in the cliques of the church or get involved in the latest drama or gossip of the church. But I want to be there to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. God, I know you have something for me. And I want to be there to get it. How about you, Christian?
Amen.
What's it take? We go back to Psalm 23 and we're going to close. You ought to read this sometime. He talks about the time of trouble, God hiding him in his pavilion. You know what a lot of Christians do today? I'm not fussing now. I'm just speaking the truth as God has given it. You let a little trouble get in our lives, and the first thing we do is stay home. Instead of running down to the house of God and get some people praying for us and worship God. The greatest thing you can do in the time of trouble is worship. If you can't worship in trouble, your worship's not right. You say, well, preacher, we're here. I know, I'm not fussing at you. I'm just telling you that it could come. The devil wants to get you out of church. The devil wants to get you out of fellowship with God. You say, what in the world does being in church have to do with the fellowship of God? I have never met. I have been in pastoral ministry for 37 years. And I have never met someone that did not take the local church serious. Now listen to me. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm talking about local church. See, I'm a local church guy. Now, there's a lot of folks say they are, but they're not. I am local church. I won't be at a Bible study tonight. I'm going to be right here in my local church. I'm not going to be at a community event tonight, right here in my local church. Well, they're having a Bible study over at so-and-so. Would you be okay if your preacher went over to the Bible study? I would sure hope not. The local church. The local church. Amen. See, we got it all mixed up. We say we're local church, but that's just in word only. The local church. It's not at home. It's not at the fair. It's not at some event. Amen. It's the local church. Don't you let the devil trick you now. See, it'll start with one thing, but before you know it, you'll be missing for anything. Well, preacher, we got that event down at the school. Well, if you miss an event for the school, it won't be long. You'll be missing one for the community. Miss one for the community, you'll be missing it for the family. Miss it for the family, you'll be missing it for any old thing. Because you make the rules that way. When God sets the rules, it's the local church. Amen. Say, preacher, that's just not so. Will you be sure to see me after the service and let me know what not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together means? Amen. The local church is who he was writing to. Not the prayer meeting down at the house. Amen. Or the community watch. What did David say? Look at it. Well, I tell you, we went from amens to oh me's, but that's okay. Listen, I didn't come here. I came here to preach the word of God to you. And if we don't get this straight, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If we don't get this local church thing straight, if we don't get verse number 6 straight, hear me now, hear me. Our children and grandchildren are going to be operating on bare rationings. You won't find a spirit-filled Christian that doesn't attend church faithfully. So you mark it down. If you're not faithful to church, you're not spirit-filled. There's something wrong. You let me know what your emphasis is on the local church, and I'll let you know what your emphasis is on the work of God. Get all up in the arms. You say, this message took a turn quick. I'm still following the Spirit and I'm still in the book. We get all up in arms when the government says it's not essential. But when we make the decision that it's not and someone says something, we really get all up in arms. Well, that's just your opinion. No, I'm still in the book. Could you imagine what it would be like if every Christian did that which was right in his own eyes? And we're fastly approaching that kind of day. If I think it's right, then it's okay. Where's your standard at? We hear a lot of folks, well, you know, preacher, if we preach standards now, we're going to lose them young people. It's not the standards that's going to use them. It's your double standard. Did you hear me? Don't you get concerned about the preacher's standard on this book right here first. You get concerned about your double standard. That you're preaching and you're excusing it with excuses. Nope. God is not going to accept it, brethren. And so what's David saying here? He's saying, God, you've been too good to me. I'm going to serve you with my life. And I will. You see, he ended the way he started. See that word, surely? I surely will. Amen. I surely will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not turning back. Don't turn back. Don't let the devil trip you up. Don't do that. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay in place. You say, preacher, I was talking to Brother Larry. You can stand to your feet. I was talking to Brother Larry, who I have a lot of respect for. Man, been serving God for years. 87, I think, is where Brother Larry's at now in his life. And he's in church serving God, capitalizing on every opportunity that God gives him. We're missing that. You see this man back here? Raise your hand back there, Brother North. Raise your hand. You see this man? Everybody look at Brother North right here. You see this man right here? This man could barely walk from his car to that seat right there. You say, well, what in the world is he doing here? It starts right in here. Been doing it for years. He made this commitment. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, that's, I want to go out that way. Brother Larry, as I was back there talking to him, he said, preacher, I want to finish strong. I want to keep the faith. I want to finish my course. I believe you do. But there's a devil now trying to trip us up. And it'll start with little things. And it'll just get bigger and bigger. And we'll try to make it personal conviction. Now, I think I'm going to stand on biblical conviction. And I'm not backing up. And I pray you would not either. Would you bow with me? David said, Lord, you've been good to me. Lord, I know the reason you've been good to me is not because I've been good. Because heaven knows I haven't been always good. Lord, you've been good to me because you're good. And I want to commit some things to you. I wonder if there's someone in the house of God this morning or watching by live stream that the Spirit of God spoke to your heart and said, I've been good to you. I've been good to you. I'm in front of you leading you as your shepherd. I'm behind you following up with goodness and mercy. I'm pursuing you, son. Daughter of God, I'm pursuing you. I'm there with you in the valley, and I'm there with you on the paths of righteousness. I'm with you.